Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the boxing glove arrow to my compressed air costume ring, it's Dan. How are you doing this fine November evening, Dan?
I'm actually doing pretty good. I started November in a pretty good mood and mindset, so hopefully I can maintain it more than like 30 seconds and, you know, go into the winter upbeat.
Well, usually you like to start off with your tailspin and then you build up from there. So it's already a good sign for a podcast that you're Mr. Positivity tonight. So that's excellent.
I'm also Mr. Maple Syrup Flavored Vodka tonight too.
So it's good. So it's the perfect drink to get drunk while you're having your breakfast. So it's perfect. So before we go any further, so since they're just waiting in the lurch, let us bring out our little all-star squad, since we're getting geeky tonight. Kids, you want to introduce yourselves?
Hi, it's Vicky.
It's Kate.
Hello, it's Jason.
Welcome back, guys.
Thanks for having us back.
So Kate is here, but where's Kate again? I forgot.
I'm already lost.
I've removed him from the continuum. Don't worry, guys. He won't be back.
So Earth 2, Kate again, is not
where that's. Yep, he's gone. Got tired of him hanging around, so I gave him a boot.
Maybe you're Earth 2, Kate.
We'll never know, will we? We will never know.
We'll just have to wait for Earth 3, Kate, to show up.
He's evil.
Yes, you'll be the one with the goatee. So... That's a joke that never stops getting old. So we are here tonight. Once again, we had to do a little podcast splitting between our main two shows we cover, Flash and Arrow. As you may recall, if you listened to the last podcast, it was because of some Chicago silliness. So Vicky was not able to watch, and the rest of us, well, I'm sorry, a couple of us decided not to watch for the sake of the podcast. Two people watched it anyway, but whatever. So we are here mainly tonight to have our major discussion about the latest episode of Arrow, which was Beyond Redemption. But after that, we stick around because we are going to be covering a couple other TV shows that have aired over the past week. So you will be getting your comic book geeky show itch scratched and then some by us tonight, I think. That sounded creepier than I ever meant it to. I really need to skip these freaking things before I start saying them.
I was going to say a comic Lollapalooza, but you decided to want to scratch something.
Oh. I think we've gone to Lollapalooza. I think we've used that line before, so it's just as well.
I didn't think it sounded creepy. I mean, I really like scratching the podcast listeners whenever I can, so...
That's the maple flavor vodka song. That's what serial killing clowns give the kids before they do things to them. Maple flavor.
Oh.
Or is it cotton candy flavored vodka? Maybe they give them. I'm not sure. And I bet that exists. I'm sure it does. Actually, have you had that yet, Dan? Cotton candy flavored?
No, I'm not a big fan of cotton candy like flavored stuff. I mean, like, I don't mind eating cotton candy, like if I'm at a, you know, fair or something like that, as long as it's the blue color. But as it comes to like imitation cotton candy stuff, I really don't like fake flavoring of strawberries, cotton candy, or I don't know, something else that I don't fucking like. So not yet.
Yes,
I just flat think, out nasty.
Yeah,
I think once my age reached double digits, I stopped caring for something like cotton candy. So anyway, before we go down a weird circus food derailment here, we should probably get right on track and discuss the latest episode of Arrow, which, as I said before, was Beyond Redemption. And like we did last time around, we're going to do the old roundtable thing. I think that works best for these shows. So since I'm talking already, I'll start it off with... I'm going to tell you right now my favorite thing about the episode overall. And it's been a while since I could say this about this character and actor, but my favorite thing was Quentin Lance, you know, and the performance by Paul Blackthorne. I feel like this character has been in kind of a free fall almost, for as far as like likability is concerned, you know, for a while. Like, ever since he turned against Team Arrow and Ollie specifically, he's just become more tiresome. And then the stuff with the drinking and, you know, the combination of him and Laurel were just almost intolerable at times, I thought. But this
They ran out of, like, stuff to do with him, really. You know, we've seen in a bunch of shows before, but it definitely felt like, you know, they just didn't know what to do with him anymore.
Yeah, and it exactly. And it felt like, oh, geez, we better do something to create some sort of conflict with him. So we'll just make him a drunk again, and we'll make him resentful and blame people and blame Ollie for everything. And, you know, there may have been some point to it, but at a certain point, I think even the most casual viewer was like, really? Still? But I don't want to get... I don't want to bog myself down in how much I haven't liked him over the last season and a half, because it's more about how much I really liked him in this episode. I thought they gave him a lot of great meaty scenes to play. He showed some range. It was probably the first time I've ever had a scene with him that I thought was even heartbreaking. So it was definitely my favorite part of the entire episode was stuff with Quentin. Oh, and the scenes with him and Ollie were... probably the best that those two have had together in some time as well.
I agree. It was definitely. It was some pretty emotional stuff going on there.
Oh yeah, really good.
And for a change, I thought the emotional stuff was earned. I mean, I believed it and it worked. As opposed, sometimes it can be a little. It doesn't always work on Arrow for me, but in this case, it really did.
Well, since that was going to be one of my points, I'll decide I'll go to the other point I have. We're going to get negative real quick. The continued downward spiral of Laurel Lance.
Yes.
Dear God. This was a character who, and they're like, we're going to make her a superhero. I'm like, okay, good. She's going to be a hero. Maybe they'll get her something. She won't be hurt. No, it's just an excuse to make her even worse. Oh, Dad, I have your dead daughter. I brought her back to life. She's chained up. She's a ghoul in this basement. It's here. Surprise. Merry Christmas. Love you, Dad. What is wrong with this woman? What is wrong with her?
I wish she said Merry Christmas.
Yes, it would have made the scene. I could have actually laughed at how sad that scene was if she had Merry Christmas. I'm like, oh, okay, we've gone that far. Terrible. But it's just, I'm hoping it's her gravestone. I'm hoping she does. Because I'm to that point with this character. I am to that point with her that I don't want to see her anymore.
You know, I just realized this, but she is so like her dad. She gets a bone and will not let it go. She would not let anyone tell her, no, trying to bring Sarah back is a bad idea. Bad things are going to happen. Don't do it. She didn't listen.
I've been on this kick ever since she went some grave robbing. Yeah, that's how I feel.
I think it's safe to say that anybody on this show who's been in a physical relationship with Oliver, I mean, it never ends well for them. Just something flips inside of them, some kind of switch, and they just start making dumb fucking decisions. So, you know, we gotta give him a little bit of the blame too.
Does that mean you have to go and rescue Felicity before something bad happens to her?
No, I can't. I'm too busy working and hiking and stuff. Besides, I'm
Well, I only wrote one sentence, and that was like my first thing bad, and I just wrote, Laurel continues to be an idiot with no self-awareness whatsoever. So I have this vague memory. I might have went on a mini Laurel rant in a recent podcast, so I don't think I need to do that again. I believe I think I was the first one to say I want her to be the one in the grave.
I've just joined the club. There's now two of us.
Yes.
She's just in complete denial. Oh no, just give her a couple days. She'll be fine. No, she doesn't have her soul.
She's making noises. That means she recognizes us. No, it doesn't, you lunatic. I hope she bites your jugular out.
I was totally
Holy
wishing
shit.
This was... What the hell just happened?
Sorry. I'm watching the real series and like it just
How about
the
Mets?
Crazy.
How about them Mets, huh?
Did it just get spoiled for me? Thanks. Just kidding.
Is anybody watching it? Because it's...
No, I was going to catch
it. I'm watching
later,
it too.
But it's okay. You can tell me what happened. Just... What happened?
The Mets were up 2-0 in the ninth inning, and then they gave up a run and with like nobody out. And then I don't know. There was some like infield like crappy little thing in like the second baseman or the shortstop. No, okay, he threw it to first, got somebody out, and then completely botched the throw to home from first base, and they scored a run. So now they're tied 2-2 in the ninth inning.
Two outs.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was Mets. It was an anti-Mets thing. Okay.
Sweet. So now we have some World Series play-by-play in the middle of the podcast, which will make no sense when it posts.
Listen, I was having a hard time keeping myself contained there until Dan is like, holy shit. It's like, okay, I can go ahead and talk about it now.
Because what I want is a 5-game World Series, because that's what's really exciting. Anyway, back to the show.
I'm not fired up. I just wasn't expecting it. So,
Jason, Mr. Derailment, what's your next?
All right. Well, I kind of want to build on your point that you had, Scott, and that was how the Captain Lance Oliver relationship took a couple turns in this episode. It went from a friendly, combative type relationship to antagonistic after Ollie sees Dark talking. And then in the end, they become more of a working partners in a covert kind of way as Oliver wants to feed Lance information to him. There is one funny scene where at one point Lance even asks for a code name. You know, it's kind of like a running theme now since Felicity had asked for one as well in a previous episode.
That is the running gag on this show at this point, isn't it?
Did anyone think that since the fact that they don't really seem to have a lot to do with the Lance character, do you think that Oliver asking him to like stay in there like undercover is like gonna possibly doom the character and he's just gonna die this season?
Yeah, it's possible.
You know what?
I think it's a really strong possibility.
I've heard that, you know, someone's theory that he's gonna be the one who dies.
Suck. Hmm.
Wrong family member.
Yeah. Wrong Lance.
Yeah, kill somebody that can't act.
Well.
Yes, the one that looks like Celine Dion, that's the one that can't act. So
Laurel's gravestone could be right next to his for all you know.
Anyway, Vicky.
So yes. Let's see. I was gonna bring this up, but I hope we all agree on this, but I think the new Arrow Cave is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's super sweet. And I like the fact how they have to go to the superstar route. Yeah. Have Cisco trick it out.
Yes. Yes. Even though it's I think I realized this about halfway through the episode that was Ray who was causing all those glitches in the Arrow Cave.
But taking my stuff.
How would he do that if it's like it's not the same building? I mean,
I don't know. Well, he seems to be able to be, you know, he was able to mess with her phone.
Yeah, but that was like she was at Palmer Tech.
But the tech is from Felicity.
But the tech is from. But I think the tech and the supplies are from Palmer Tech, so it's possible.
Certainly possible. They didn't
ship in all the machinery from Central City. So
it's more plausible than Cisco doing a half-assed job hooking stuff up and then just having it run like shit.
Yeah, because I wouldn't, you know, if she's had, you know, Cisco and everyone from Star Labs or whatever helping her trick out the lab, they wouldn't, you know, leave it with faulty programming or whatever.
Yeah,
Cisco's stuff works, you know.
That was my number three.
Well,
I wrote.
Except for that one thing.
Well, you know. I had that as one of my things. I wrote like whether it's a Bat Cave, a Fortress of Solitude, a Baxter Building, a Titans Tower, or even Star Labs. If you have more than one lone hero, if there's an approximation of any kind of a team, then you need something like that. You know, a headquarters or a lair or a clubhouse or someplace to hang your mask or your cape or your hood. So I really liked the way it looked. It's a necessary thing to have on these shows. So those of us who read articles ahead of time saw photographs of it, but it was really nice to see it, you know, in action. So it's very pretty.
Yeah, not to mention they had a callback to season 2 because it was Jason Blood's old lair.
Yes. Yeah. Cause
that's right. I forgot about that.
Campaign office. Mm-hmm. And I will speak for all the ladies here. It was nice to see the return of the salmon ladder.
Are you going to give us the line that Felicity had there? Because she had a line in my call. what was the line she had? It was something about missing it or needing that or something. I can't remember what it was exactly.
No, I can't remember what it was. Yeah. Just, yeah, it's nice to see it, but it can be definitely distraction.
Yeah, I read comments by more than a few ladies online who had a very similar reaction. So, and I'm sure some men out there had a reaction like that too, come to think of it. So,
yeah.
Of course.
I'll pick out something that I liked, and it was pretty minor. But when Thea was talking about I like the look on Thea's face when she was talking about having, you know, multiple drug dealers, and she has had this goofy grin on her face. I just thought it was cute, even though the scene was just like, yeah, I used to, you know, do a shit ton of drugs and like multiple drug dealers, but for some reason I just found it freaking adorable. So,
yeah.
And that's what makes Diggle not. And, you know, makes him uneasy about raising a daughter in that city.
What's funny is that the next thing I was going to bring up actually was Thea. And it's also something else that Dan said earlier, just making a comment about just acting ability in general. I've not always thought that Thea / or Willa Holland, I guess is the actress's name. I've never always thought that she was the best actress on the show. By the way, I actually got criticized online somewhere because I made a comment about someone's acting ability. It was like, how am I able to judge someone else's ability to act? And I was just like, what are you talking about? You know, are the only people who can judge acting like acting coaches? Do I have to bring like Meisner and Adler back from the dead to judge how people can act? I think I can. I've watched enough TV and film. I can judge how someone acts.
Well, yeah, you don't have to know how to make a fucking pizza to tell if it tastes like shit.
Yeah, it just wasn't.
It just has to be from New York.
Well,
it has to be from New York, so it doesn't taste like shit.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Okay, we're not going to get into this.
Yeah. John Stewart wins, Vicky loses. Bye bye, Vicky. Anyway, so while I didn't really care much for Thea or Willa Holland's performance in the premiere, but I think ever since she's been dealing with the effects of the Lazarus Pit, I feel like her character is kind of. Maybe not done a 180, but at least a 90 to 100 degree turn. I've found it more compelling to watch ever since that point, I think.
Yeah, at least she didn't light anybody on fire this time.
Well, you know, she did recently kill someone, so, you know.
Well, I don't have a problem.
It's abated for a little while.
No, I definitely think she's much improved over previous seasons, and you know, just, and especially with stuff just watching her hold a weapon or something, just it feels so much natural instead of just sticking out like a sore thumb. Because I'm sure, like, you know, when she got hired for the role, she wasn't expecting to be doing all sorts of crazy ninja stuff. So it's understandable that it took a little while to work into it, but she's definitely getting it and selling it, making it look convincing. Unlike Laura, who just is not.
Yeah, I was gonna say we've commented on this previously. But it feels like her, you know, progression in combat skills has been a lot more believable than Laurel's.
I think some of that's because we got to see her train or at least know that she trained with her father.
Yeah.
Whereas the stuff with Laurel, I mean, there was the whole thing where she was supposedly training with Ted Grant, the boxer. Although I think we only saw a little bit of that, and it really was like, boxing stuff. I don't know how much else we saw with her truly training to be a real fighter. So yeah, I kind of agree with what you guys are saying. Absolutely. Cade.
Okay. My next point is the Oliver running for mayor story actually looks like a sub story this season. I might actually enjoy because it's not some outside character. I also like how when he told the rest of the team, they kind of gave him this weird look, like, are you crazy? It's okay that you run around like a vigilante, but running for mayor is the strangest thing you're going to do. And it was just, that was the, it's like your disconnection from reality really shows when Oliver saying he's going to run for mayor gives you quizzical looks and makes you question his sanity, whereas running around as Arrow is perfectly fine.
About another Captain Landslide where he said he wanted Oliver to win in the landslide considering all the past mayoral candidates.
I hadn't thought of it that way. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Anybody else got anything to say for that?
I was going to say, did you guys notice his line in his press conference where he was announcing his candidacy that matched one of the, you know, the pre-episode, you know, what was he saying, you know, after 5 years in hell, I returned home with only one goal. I wanted to save my city.
No, I didn't pick up on that.
Well, then, okay. I must have been the only one.
I'm not going to agree with you.
Why? Why not? Why wouldn't you agree with Vicky?
Well, man, never mind. She's too close. She could just drive up here and like cut my throat tonight. So I probably need to just tone it down a little notch. I mean, she's from Chicago, so all they do is murder people. I really probably need to keep my shit together here.
She has threatened that in the past.
No, I haven't threatened to kill him.
Just shut him.
Just to keep him in line.
I do need that every now and then.
Finally, oh my goodness.
Speaking of catching things, because I didn't write this down, I just popped. Did anyone write down or remember the Neil Adams comment that was made in this episode?
Darn it, Scott.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Stop it.
I didn't even write that.
My turn anyway.
Okay, go my for turn. It. Now all you have right. to say.
Aha. I know it. Curtis Holt thinks that Neil Adams is the Green Arrow, which is funny because this is a nice little comic reference, as Neil Adams was a comic artist who worked on the Green Arrow, Green Lantern comic series.
Possibly the best artist to ever work on Green Arrow, I would say, just about. Definitely had the most defining look of him, I would say.
Yes.
Was he short? Because, I mean, was that just some kind of like inside joke? Because they said something about being too short to be him.
No, it's actually Neil. I think that's actually almost a weird inside joke, because Neil Adams is actually fairly tall. I know I've seen him at a couple different Comic Cons, and I'm guessing either Kate or Jason has as well, but I know I have.
No, I haven't. I haven't gone to.
Yeah, he's not a short fella. He's not a short guy.
You should have just lied in support of the podcast. Anyway.
Come on, Jason. Pull it together here.
Well, that was my point, so it's on to Vicky next.
Okay. This is kind of piggybacking off of the whole Oliver is running for mayor storyline, but my sister had the thought that maybe that Lance should be the one to run for mayor. What would you guys think of that?
Of course, the cop apologist like that would say that.
Oh no.
Okay, we don't need to get into this.
That's not an area we're going to get into on this podcast. I would be worried, because then it would guarantee he's going to be the guy in the grave, because they kill all the mayors in that town. So
just to let you know, we do have a Twitter account.
Lance was saying that's the reason he wants Oliver to run and actually win.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I could see them maybe like Dark maybe making him run.
Yeah. I think it would be
a good mayor.
I think it would be interesting because, you know, he is really one of those people who just wants to see the city but get better, but probably, I don't know.
Nah, he was until Ollie caught him, he was in league with Dark to be. He was on Piece of Shitsville at that point, so no. He's not my man.
I don't think it would ultimately work out, but yeah.
plus
I just think that would be I don't know, would they let someone with his heart condition be mayor?
Or police commissioner. Do they have a police commissioner in that town?
I don't think so.
I don't think they've ever said.
I would think so, but I don't know if we've ever actually seen them.
Because it seems odd that you had that one little that earlier episode where it was like all the heads of the city or remaining, but and he's there. It's like, but wait, aren't there higher ranking cops than you that would be there? Like the police commissioner? Anyway, I shouldn't question things like that on Arrow. So let it go.
Anyway, trying to think too much about it.
Anyway, I think Dan wants to go next.
Yeah. Okay. So now this week's round of villains, I just call them Bad Shield. They're actually Bad Strike Team. I don't think Vicky's watched The Shield, the TV show. But I just like the whole time I saw them, I was like, this is just like, you know, they're trying to. I mean, they weren't really trying because like whoever wrote the episode really didn't make any effort about with these villains at all. But it was just like the most half-assed, like lame version of The Shield imaginable.
It's even a plot straight from it, right?
Yeah.
It's like
it kind of seemed like this was kind of meant to be, you know, not very important part of the episode. Most of it was focusing on Oliver finding out about Lance and Dark and then the whole stuff with Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is sometimes when they have like a specific villain on, I mean, the villain may only be there in service of the overall plot, so that's fine. But these guys or guys and gal, whatever, just kind of. Although, what's her name? Is it Rutina Wesley? Is that the actress's name? Me and Dan just saw her on Hannibal, and people know her probably best from True Blood. I'm probably wrong about this. So call me Jason. But was the character she was playing, was that actually a character from the comics or something? Or am I imagining that? Because I thought I heard people somewhere online referring to her as some sort of comic book character name or reference or something.
Her comic book name is Lady Cop.
It is Lady Cop. Okay. I didn't know if that was like a joke.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, hey, if Marvel can have a character called Night Nurse, I think DC's
No, I know. Character it's just Night. Like, that's
the such, Night Nurse is fucking cool, though.
Because there can only be one woman.
But maybe she's got like superpowers. Yeah, I thought it was pretty stupid too.
Pretty generic in terms of names.
Speaking of stupid, if I get to go next, I'll go with bad. And here, the thing that probably irritated me outside of seeing Laurel's face or whatever. I'm sorry, and this has been going on for the last couple episodes, but just it bugged me even more so in this episode. Felicity being, I'm going to say, dumb or oblivious or just plain old naive. I'm tired of the stupidity with the iPhone and the computer glitches because I feel that someone with her expertise, and she's been proven to have a really inquisitive mind about things of this nature. I'm sorry. You would have found a few minutes over the course of a 24-hour day to look a little into this crap. So I don't care that we all know that it's going to be Ray Palmer and they're just dragging this out because of Legends of Tomorrow or whatever. It's annoying me because I don't think her character would be that way. I think she'd be – we've talked about this before. We don't like when they make characters a little less intelligent than they normally are to service a plot. And she's really a character I don't like seeing being dumbed down for any reason on the show because one of the things that's appealing about her is that she's so fucking smart. So she shouldn't be doing stupid things. And right, I don't
Scott,
mean
to get a... Scott, let me tell you this. If that glitch was in a warehouse, an abandoned warehouse, she would have found it by now.
She would have found a surveillance camera to be watching it.
That's exactly right.
I can't stand Felicity acting like this either. It's just kind of like, you know, she's almost unrecognizable from the woman I fell in love with back in season two. So it's very disappointing. And if they keep this up, I mean, it might get to the point where I just don't care anymore and let her have her current terrible oversized pizza relationship with dumbass boy. So.
Oh, you're referring to her being dumb as far as being with Ollie altogether. That's what's bothering you. Well,
that's an error in judgment. But I mean, when, you know, just all this other stuff, she's like, you know, crying because she doesn't want to watch, like, you know, Ray Palmer's last message. Like, oh no, you banged it once and then, like, you know, hung out a little bit like 5 fucking years ago. Now you're like, you're bawling because you don't want to see his like last message when you've been running his company and like sitting in his chair for 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah, Scott, I have to agree with your point. You are 100% correct. She
Did the cat just fart on our podcast? Is that what just happened?
No. Oh,
boy. It's so professional. You were saying, Vicky?
Okay, as I was saying, I completely agree with you because she is basically the smartest person on the show. Everyone has their dumb moments, but she would quickly see this, realize it's, you know, phrase code.
Jesus. Mute your microphone. Come on.
She would see it's Ray's code and figure it out that it's him. It annoys me that they're dragging this out. Because
No, you're right. I'm like, especially when Curtis pointed that out to her. That should have been like the light switch in her head. And the fact that it wasn't. And you know, I would understand if this was when they were, even if this was last season when they were like deep in the throes of dealing with Ra's al Ghul and go. But at this point, they deal with the ghost stuff, but it's not like so omnipresent in their time that she can't be dealing with these other things. So it's,
yeah,
it's really annoying me.
And I get that they're kind of trying to use it to introduce Curtis's character, but he would not know Ray Palmer's code or whatever as well as she would.
Right. Oh, by the way, do you anticipate at some point later in the season when he's more familiar with everybody else and he's probably part of the whole group, that when he'll make a comment about wanting a code name and she'll just be sarcastically say something like, yeah, you and use the word Mr. Terrific or something. And that's how we'll get away with even getting that phrase used in the show. Because they're never going to really call. I don't think he's ever going to actually be called Mr. Terrific. I would be shocked if that ever happened.
Maybe it'll be something.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was something like that.
It'll be something along the line, like, get in line, Mr. Terrific, or something else. Because there's her, Lance, and then him.
It sounds like something Quentin Lance would actually call him, actually. It sounds like a line.
Oh, yeah, know what, yeah.
Why don't you ask Mr. Terrific over there? It's like, oh, Mr. Terrific. Then Siskel will show up and say, hey, that's a good name.
I like that one. Oh.
Why don't you paint this T on your face? Anyway.
Okay, my last point. I just realized I don't have any more because everyone else took them. I had Lance and I had Oliver and Lance, their scenes, and Scott kind of covered those. And I kind of had my diatribe about Laurel. So yeah, I'm done for now. Jason can go.
Okay. Well, this is something I just thought of on the fly when you guys were talking about Felicity, and that's Felicity the Embezzler. The fact that she keeps using Ray Palmer's money to use for Team Arrow and Ollie's campaign. They're going to catch on to that eventually, right?
Well, we'll see.
The question is it hers to do as she sees fit or not? Or is it a public? I don't know if it's a publicly held company or not, or if it's privately held. Did they mention stockholders? I can't remember. I feel like they did, but I don't remember.
They do have a board of directors.
Well, you can have a board of direct. No, I mean, she still will have to answer for it, but it's whether or not if she inherited it from Ray Palmer, whether she would still have the right to do it or not. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I agree with you. I was trying to think of the difference between it being a privately owned company or a publicly held company. So I was just trying to figure out which it was.
Right. I just thought that was interesting.
Oh, it was. Absolutely.
Okay. So I guess I'll go. This has kind of been touched on previously, but like some of my favorite stuff this episode was the emotional stuff with the whole Lance family, because you know, as we mentioned in our Lost episode, one of the things I was looking forward to was just seeing all the family dynamics going on with this whole Sarah coming back thing. And you know, when he went to go see her in the basement and he pulled out his gun to, you know, assume he was her, and then he just broke down and collapsed to the floor. It felt real.
Yeah, that was a great moment.
Because honestly, how would you react if you've assumed this daughter has been dead twice? And, you know, she's come back twice.
He's really good at it.
Yeah. I was a little before we were recording, I was reading something that Paul Blackthorne had posted, the actor who plays Quentin Lance, he had posted on Facebook about how just the whole backstory that he basically gives his character and how rough it was to go through, you know, that those first couple of, what was it, Christmases or whatever, right after, like, they assumed Sarah was dead from the boat because, like, they would, they had a specific division of Christmas Day because it was also her birthday or whatever. And it was really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I read that as well a little while ago. I love that he did that. Cause that's the kind of thing that sometimes a screenwriter will be asked to provide for either a director or an actor. Even if it's not in the script, you create a backstory for the character so they have, so they know what they're playing upon and what they're referencing. It's kind of cool when you see an actor do that. And that, so the fact that he wrote this entire backstory for his character and how they dealt with Sarah's death initially, I was really impressed by that. I thought that was, that made me respect him more as an actor. Not that I didn't respect him before, but that just made me appreciate his work that much more.
Yeah, I completely agree. It definitely gives you appreciation for just how much they put into that role, that they go to the trouble of developing that information themselves.
Dan, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I've got a few things, quick things I'll rattle off. You know, cool. In comic book stories, we see it's almost a cliche where when somebody, you know, suffers some kind of great loss, you know, it kind of takes them a while to get back into it. But I feel that we haven't really had that with Diggle here. Ever since he lost the Katara Hero battle, he really hasn't had any, like, you know, downslide in his abilities whatsoever. So I think that's kind of refreshing to see him, you know, just throwing on the old welder helmet and going out there and kicking some ass.
I was confused. I kept thinking the Guitar Hero might be a flash forward, and so they maybe that leads to the grave. It's Iris. Wait, no, Barry wasn't upset. Never mind. Go on.
Well, so it was nice seeing Dark again. Neil McDonough, he's always just, you know, he just lights up every scene he's in. So even though he wasn't in the episode much, it was nice to have him just, you know, just a little bit to, you know, make sure that we didn't forget that he's out there lurking around doing his thing. And does anybody give one shit about the stuff that's going on the island flashbacks? Because, you know, when I called at the beginning of the season that, like, them going back to Lian Yu was them learning from their mistakes and they're going to have interesting flashbacks. So far, I feel like I was way wrong and their prediction was complete bullshit. Is anybody else?
Yeah, I don't know if it's building towards something, but I feel like we're just treading water on it. We're not getting a whole lot of information with it. I mean, what did we get this time? we got the ability to find out that Oliver can make people look like they're dead and bring them back.
So far, the most significant thing about the flashbacks is that he cut his hair. It's like, oh, here's the origin of his haircut.
Okay. Good point.
We can stop that. The thing that worries me about it, maybe we're only, what, four episodes into the season, so they can turn that around, of course. But I'm having my own flashbacks to last season where I don't think the flashbacks meant a damn thing until towards the end of the season. I felt like we wasted so much time on the flashbacks last year. I'm hoping it's not going to be a repeat this year, but yeah, it's been okay. He went back to the island and he's infiltrated this whatever group. And that's all that sentence covers four episodes right now. You know, who cares?
Yeah.
At this point, I think they should consider just, you know, not having the flashbacks anymore. Cause you know, it was cool in the first season. You kind of needed it and made it just really flesh in his motivations and his, you know, growing abilities were cool. Season two was cool because, I mean, that was a bad guy for the season, Slade, and that really helped sell that season and make it, you know, the best we've seen of the show so far. But after that, they're just like, they're just doing it to fill in their, you know, five-year thing, and, you know, I let them film with really crappy wigs on. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I know what I would have, if they were going to insist on that sort of a format for the show, I think I know what I would have preferred, although there would have been a certain number of the fan base who, a lot of people get annoyed when the show isn't about Arrow, I think a lot of people have gotten annoyed once they've spread it out to being about this whole team, and it's not when it loses its focus. And that was part of the problem with the third season, of course. But that said, I would have been more interested if the flashbacks could bounce back and forth to other characters, and then I could have seen, you know, I would have liked, I'd like to know more about Diggle and his past, you know, other than what we've been told in like a couple episodes. And I think you there's other territory that can be mined with some of these characters. I mean, I don't love it. I'd rather just stay in present day at this point. I think Dan's right. I think we've gotten as much as we're going to get out of them. But, you know, yeah, I had that down as so-so. But, yeah, it should just be bad. I don't know why I wrote so-so.
You're talking like Lost style, where you just focus on a certain character and their backstory. Flashback, yeah, I mean, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and it felt, I mean, admittedly, especially in the first season, it kind of felt like Lost to begin with. But that wasn't necessarily a bad thing. And it worked well in those first two seasons. I think these last two, not so much. Tired of it.
Yeah, they're really treading water and just playing the string out on it.
I think we've just about covered everything I can think of that I would have liked to have said. The only other thing I would have pointed out that bothered me a little bit was it's maybe not as egregious as Felicity being made dumber, but Green Arrow himself. I mean, this is a guy. He's a warrior. He's been doing this for a while now. He's fought against some of the most incredible criminals and fighters we've seen in episodes past. Deathstroke and Rachel Cool.
I know where you're going with it.
Give me a freaking break with how easy these freaking cops get the drop on him, especially a lady cop. I mean, really? I mean, like, did he forget what he was doing? And then the outfit, which has, has all this cool Kevlar this and plating that. But apparently you could just stick a knife in his back with no problem. What? I really thought that was kind of stupid the more I thought about it, especially the fighting stuff. I mean, this guy just fought with Damian Dark and it bugged me.
Well, yeah. They had to give Lance his moment to, have his big speech.
True. I guess I just wish they had come up with a more convincing way to put him in peril or something. Oh, by the way, he is then stabbed. And then it's like it's nothing after that. I know that's a common thing on a lot of TV shows and movies. Someone will get shot or stabbed, and then it's like it's nothing. But it still kind of bothers me because you were just acting like you're killing him now. Oh, it's fine. Just one more scar. Just add it to the collection. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyone else want to say something before I give it a grade?
I was just going to say that, overall, I liked the episode. I mean, it wasn't like the greatest thing ever, but I never felt like I was wasting my time watching it, so.
I agree. It had some really good emotional moments, at least as far as I was concerned.
Did you say at least as far as you were concerned?
Yes. I'm saying I felt it had some really great emotional moments.
No, I don't. Okay, I just thought it was funny. At least as far as I was concerned. It's like an indignant appraisal. I don't care.
Well, I don't want to speak for you guys.
It's okay.
Jason or Cade, you've got an overall opinion on the episode?
I think I liked the episode for the Lance stuff, Captain Lance stuff, seeing him kind of get some character moments here to build up. If we could eliminate the daughter, the other one, and just bring back the original one to be on the show, that'd be great. I'd just prefer if we got Sarah back and Laurel died. Come on. It's not hard. Make it happen for me. Please.
You're taking the anti-Laurel slot.
Don't worry. We'll get Sarah back. We just got to keep her chained up for a few more weeks and keep feeding her,
The thing is, I was excited for the season.
That's the one thing I wanted to go on. Go on.
But if we're going to have to deal with her being that troublingly inept for the rest of the season, I'm going to hate it. And I just hope they stop it somehow, some way.
They haven't stopped for 3 years. I don't think they're going to stop.
I know, but, hope springs eternal.
Jason?
All right, I found the villains boring. Captain Lance was cool. Barbara was cool. It was a treading water kind of episode, just kind of like The Flash. Quick and dirty.
I love the stuff with Quentin Lance, the scenes between him and Ollie especially, which I almost wish I'd spend more time talking about, but one of you guys kind of covered it pretty well. You take that out of the episode, there isn't really that much I cared about in the episode. So, you know, if I'm doing the old letter thing, it's probably kind of a B for me. By the way, is there any other way they could have kept Sarah not prisoner? I don't know how to phrase it exactly. There's something that seems kind of cruel about the way she's chained up. It's like
in a basement.
Does that not hurt her at all? It seems kind of mean, but I don't. Maybe is she wearing a choker collar too? I don't know. Just it seemed wrong to me.
I want to know how they came to the decision. Oh, or granted, this is, you know, Thea and Laurel who probably decided this. Oh, okay, we're just going to throw her in Laurel's basement.
And right. A basement that apparently no one else ever goes to. It's a secret basement.
How did they get Sarah home?
Yeah, I want to see a flashback episode where they're just like drugging her every like 15 minutes and then like smuggle her in her, you know, big old steamer trunk or something. I don't know.
No, I'm a Weekend at Bernie's kind of thing with her.
Oh, damn it. Scott got to the joke before me. Because that's what I was about to say.
Best here. Podcast ever.
go ahead and say it like you were going to say it, Cade, and I'll just cut the Scott part out.
So. No, but I'm thinking, I agree with Scott. I'm just thinking Weekend at Bernie's. They just got an arm and a leg attached to each of them walking through the airport. She's snarling at other passengers.
Weekend at Bernie's. She could be the dead one then. Anyway. All right. Well, I think we've covered that as much as we really want to. I'm pretty certain we're going to have – some of us are going to have quite a bit of fun discussing the upcoming episode of Arrow. I got a warning in advance. Vicky –
Vicky vibrating.
Vicky will be vibrating with what's the phrase?
Excitement.
Excitement.
Man, that's just a great phrase. I like that. We have to make sure when you tweet about the episode next week, you just throw that in there for the hashtag vibrating excitement.
Vibrating with excitement.
It's a lot of characters, but it's worth it.
We'll pick up another Twitter follower.
I saw the promo at the end of the episode. When we first saw him on screen, we're like, we just kind of lost it.
Yeah, I am also extremely, well, I don't want to use the word excited, but I'm looking forward to it greatly. I actually read an extremely non-spoiler review of the episode, which essentially didn't reveal anything. Except just to make it clear, they did a really good job of working him into the episode. And so, and what I was saying before, in service of the plot, not just like, oh, here's this guest star, but just plopping in out of nowhere. He's actually very important to the storyline overall, which I think we all know what that storyline is. But yeah, I am really looking the combination of that and Flash this week, I am really looking forward to.
Yeah, but I'm going to ask you guys a question about this before we move on to other things. But it's just like, you know, I'm definitely different from all you guys where I don't read the news and I don't watch the previews and I don't want to know what's going on ahead of time. But just wouldn't it be nice just to, like, for you guys to watch the episode next week without having a clue that he was going to be on the show? I mean, wouldn't that have just been like the greatest thing ever not knowing about it like 6 months ago? I mean, I'm sure it's nice having something to look forward to, but I mean, wouldn't it be nice just to have that surprise and not know anything? Because I would think that that'd be a better experience than just, you know, knowing about it at every step of the way.
Yeah, it would have been. You know, granted, there are some shows that I don't really, you know, keep tabs on what's upcoming, but I think this is a show where it helps with the anticipation with someone like him. It really helps me, you know, look forward to it.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. On one hand, it would be mind-blowing for that character to pop up out of nowhere, and then we'd all be freaking out about it. Although how to keep a lid on that would have been difficult, I guess. But what Vicky just said about the building of anticipation, you know, it's like, look at Flash season one. If Grodd had just appeared out of nowhere without any buildup to it, we would have been freaking out, like we did to a lesser degree, like with King Shark. You know, we didn't, most of us didn't know about that. Granted, King Shark is not of the same level as Gorilla Grodd, but still as shocking to see as Gorilla Grodd. But that's a good example. We were all shocked about King Shark, but Grodd, we anticipated the buildup because we had heard about it for so long, and then they started teasing us about it. I think the thing that we're talking about is, it's more because of those of us who are a fan of the other show and how it was badly treated on NBC, yada, yada. It's kind of nice to be looking forward to it. I get what you're saying, but also it's almost like, you know, not knowing about anything or anyone who's going to be in an upcoming movie or a TV show. It's hard, but, you know, those days are kind of over due to social media and internet.
Yeah, and with these comic book shows in particular, I mean, it just seems like, you know, there's every time that they cast anybody for anything, I mean, you know, 9 months ahead of time, they have 10 articles out, you know, the very second talking about it. So, you know, especially right. with this kind of thing, it's just like there's no, you know, surprises or shockers other than, you know, plot points here and there. But
I also think it's due to the unprecedented nature of this, where this isn't just a character showing up. It's the fact that it's a character that was on another TV show on another network that was canceled. It's kind of, you don't really get to see that happen very often. At least it hasn't happened on superhero shows. I mean, so it's kind of, it makes it very noteworthy. Plus it also ignites the hopes for some of us that maybe this could somehow lead to bringing that character back to his own series. It probably won't, but we can kind of hope for it, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it, like I said, it's not my thing, but it definitely, I mean, this kind of thing does kind of fit in, like, the comic, you know, like, the general comics, like, the way that it's done. I mean, every comic that, you know, we've read for years, that, you know, they tell you, well, this is what's going to happen 5 months from now, because they're trying to get you to, like, you know, order the product. So it's just kind of part of the thing. They want you to keep watching the show, so they got to keep you going. So comic books themselves do the same thing. You can't blame the shows and movies for doing it.
True.
Yeah. Also, well, on that note, though, it I guess that the episode did get leaked online, so just beware.
I think beware. Go looking for it. One of the two.
Wow. Well,
No.
If they find out who was resulting in it, you know, that person will likely no longer get any screeners.
Wah wah. All right. Well, since we were just talking about, you know, comic books specifically, or Dan was, that feels like it was almost a ready-made segue. Before we discuss, you know, a few other TV shows that we watched over the last week, I think Dan wanted to give us a little bit of a comic book corner, kind of an update here. So go for it, Dan.
Yeah, I've still been reading comics on the Marvel Comics Unlimited app, as I have been, you know, for the last several months. Have any of you, like, tried reading, you know, even, like, a preview or, like, one of the free issues on the app or anything like that since I started doing it?
I'll admit I haven't. No. I keep going to, and then I don't do it just because I'm a terrible person. But you made me look at it, like, when you first said I really put some time into it. I just couldn't do it at the time, but...
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
At some point, you keep talking. I probably will just break and spend an entire weekend lost in it.
Well, yeah, just you know, it's $70 if you just pony up for a whole year at a time. And I mean, like right now, I they haven't quite gotten. I mean, they're still 6 months behind. So I think hopefully tomorrow they'll release the first issue of Secret Wars. But if I was buying that, like, in stores, which I'm tempted to do because I really don't want to fucking wait anymore, know that I'm, like, right there. But I mean, it's like $5 an issue. So I mean, the comics aren't cheap. It adds up, you know, super fast. So $70 a year is definitely cheap. But I really recommend, you know, just download the app to switch on. You know, use a tablet or your computer or your phone. If you use a phone, I recommend, you know, switching it so you're using it like a landscape instead of portrait, the way you're holding the phone, because it's just easier to read that way. But just, you know, listen, read one of the free issues, Vicky, try Black Widow out maybe or whatever. It's something you'd be into. And I think you guys would find it's a good experience. But I've been – what? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I actually have been thinking about starting with the new Black Widow storyline that they're going to be starting, I think, this month. Because I was reading an article that it actually sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. And with this, I mean, with this app, this service in particular, I mean, you know, it's always 6 months behind because they want you to go out and buy the new issues. So it really wouldn't help you much for that. But if you start, you know, buying the digital copies or the physical copies of the issues and you like that, I definitely think that you're going to probably enjoy it and want to go back and read some more of the backlog. And that's definitely a cheaper way of doing it than going around trying to find back issues. Even though Chicago has a pretty decent selection of comic shops, it is. Trust all of us, it is not a cheap thing to go back and do it that way. So, nor does it take up a small amount of storage space. But I've been reading a lot lately. I was enjoying the most current run of New Avengers and Avengers just as much as anything I have in years. And I just read the last issues of both of those now because it's, you know, ending before their big event happens. And then, of course, you know, it'll come back in some different form after that. But I have a strong sensation that it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be like the same thing that I loved. So there's that. I'm pretty much caught up in that and reading Hawkeye and all these other, you know, current titles. Now I'm going back and I'm reading Iron Man from 2004 to present. That's my plan now. So since Cade's a huge Iron Man fan right now and I'm totally against Captain America in the Civil War movie, I figured I could try to see how Cade is. Can't just tell him he's a monster all the time.
Inside jokes are funny.
Yes. But I think that's all I have for that. So definitely, you know, if anybody or, you know, not just you guys, the listeners, if you want to give some of Marvel's backlog a shot, you feel free to send me a message or something. I can recommend some stuff that you would like, you know, discuss it. And I definitely have read a lot of the stuff. Ask at Cade. Cade's read all this stuff, too. And, you know, if DC had the service, I would do the same thing so I could catch up on their stuff. But they sadly tend to be myopic with certain things. And this is one thing they haven't got their act together on yet, so.
That was the loser horn for DC.
What?
I was doing the loser horn for DC. I was supporting your friend.
And now since I'm going to be ducking out of the podcast here since I haven't watched any of the other shows that you guys are going to be discussing now. So it's been a pleasure having you guys back again. Even Vicky, fuck all of the queen. So thank you for joining us. So, all right.
Bye, Dan.
Bye, bye, Dan.
Go with God.
Do svidaniya.
I'm not leaving until Vicky says bye.
Goodbye, Dan.
Goodbye, Vicky, and the rest.
Goodbye, Dan's cat. I assume everyone else is still here.
I'm still here.
It went creepily silent for a second. I was like, don't tell me he disconnected everybody. Well, it's kind of funny that the last thing we were talking about was Marvel. You know what? I'm not going to do that since he's not here. Perfect time to mention one little thing before we get to those other TV shows. Some of our listeners might have noticed that although it was big news in the geeky stratosphere, or really everywhere, you know, geeky or non-geeky, we never mentioned anything about the latest Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer that got dropped a couple weeks ago and, you know, set the internet and everyone else on fire, pretty much. I don't really feel we need to actually talk about the trailer because everyone who's listening to this podcast has probably watched it 1,000 times already. You know, we probably know every moment or every second, you know, by heart at this point. I just wanted to suggest for anyone who hasn't found this as of yet, they should really track down and go to Nerdist.com. I know they have it there. It's probably on YouTube at this point, but I know it's on Nerdist.com, where someone actually did a nice supercut of all the Force Awakens trailers all as one big piece. If that doesn't get you insanely psyched for this movie, even more so than you already are, I don't know who you are, but that's really worth checking out, I think.
Yeah, who's not excited for this movie? They're crazy.
Yes. Crazy people. So, speaking of crazy, I don't think I would have made a comment like this last year, but in a week that had, you know, episodes of both Flash and Arrow, the next few shows that I'm going to get spoken about from the past week, I'm going to tell you right now, I actually like them better than both Flash and Arrow this past week. And it really pains me about the first show we're going to talk about to say that. But I'm, you know, I'm an honest guy and I'll say it. The latest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, 4,722 hours, easily my favorite episode I've ever seen of this series. So I'll shut up for a little bit and let you, because you guys are a bit more Marvelicious than I am when it comes to this kind of stuff. But I'm just going to say right now, I adored this episode like no other of this episode this week, I'd say.
I'm going to say this. This is the easily the best episode the show has ever had, but it irritates me in the fact that I'm like, this is how good you can make this show and you haven't made it this good before. The whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking, where has any of this emotion, this depth been in this series? You wait till season three and then you give us this. And it's just like, I was blown away at how good this episode worked. Like when you knew she was going to tell the story last week, you just are excited, like, what's it going to be? And then they get into it and you realize, wow, it's two people in a space that's just a tiny room, basically most of the entire episode. But the chemistry between these two people, a character you've never seen before, who might never be on the show again, and Gemma, it's better than most of the character reactions or relationships the show has had that's built for 3 years. You got in this one episode. And I want to know who did what to make this one so good. Why aren't you doing that for your entire series? Why are you holding yourself back, it seems, when you can do something that great? And I think that almost is a testament to how good they can be when they actually want to. And I hope they actually bring it for the rest of the season. Give us something as good as what that was, because if not, you're doing a disservice to yourself.
Well, it's interesting that for a lot of dramatic series and comedies as well over the last 40-odd years, quite often the most notable episodes are the ones that we call the bottle episodes, the ones that only deal with either a few characters or one space or a very limited area. This is probably as close as this show would ever get to a bottle episode, although it's on a planet, not in a room. But like I said, most of it is in that little underground area. So I remember thinking as I was watching the episode, oh my God, this is like a bottle episode. And thankfully, they actually took the character I consistently like the most on the show and based it around her. So that may have something to do with why it works so well.
I think it's good for the show to break it up every now and then, to break formula and tell a different story, and it just inherently makes it better, you know, because you don't have the same routine. You've got something different.
Right.
Yeah, I think this really was an incredible episode because, you know, we assumed that she went through a lot in the time that she was gone. But it, you know, seeing it versus, you know, hearing her maybe talk about it is just completely different.
Oh, absolutely. You know what it kind of reminded me of? And I don't know if anyone has ever seen this. It's possible. Did any of you guys who've watched the older Battlestar Galactica series, like go back to, like, to 1980 maybe, Galactica 80? Did you guys ever see that series?
I did not.
No. Okay. Well, there was an episode, it was Galactica 1980, where they brought back the Starbuck character. And they kind of, in a weird way, they almost riffed on this a bit on the later series from a few years ago. The entire episode is called The Return of Starbuck. And most of the episode, up until a certain point, it's just Starbuck who's crash-landed on a deserted planet with a Cylon, who he ends up, for lack of a better way to... less cheesy way to put it, he ends up sort of befriending the Cylon. It, trust me, it's really good. It's like it was done. It's different than anything they had ever done on that series before. Obviously, you go from a big space opera to one character and a robot on a planet together. I actually thought the movie Enemy Mine kind of lifted a lot from it a few years later that came out in the 80s. But as I was watching this episode, I kept thinking, this kind of reminds me of an old Battlestar Galactica episode. I mean, maybe this might have been a little bit better in some regard, but or maybe not. I don't know. But that's what I wonder. I'd almost like to find the writers and ask them, have you ever seen that old BSG episode? Because I suspect at least one of them might have seen it, and it might have helped inform them as they came up with the story.
It wouldn't surprise me. Knowing it, I really want to find out who wrote this one to see what else they've written, to see if it's something that they're kind of is one of those things they have, that emotional connection thing. Because just because the two actors can do it, you got to have something there for them to work from. So I should really look up who wrote that episode for him.
I was going to say, if only we had the technology where you could track down such information.
Someday I will have this capability.
You know, I even liked like the little touches. Like, I loved the opening title credit, the way it just came up very quietly and subdued against the blue cinematography. I even something like that I really liked. It just
the small thing is the font they used for the numbering was the same font they used for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They used a different logo, mm-hmm. which was a nice little touch to separate it from the series in the fact that, yes, this is sure you're watching, but this is going to be different. This is not what you're going to be used to seeing every week. And it was one of those little small things that give that away and just help build to what that episode was about.
Hey, I've got the writer. It is Craig Tiltley. He is known for Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, Scooby-Doo, 2002, Cheaper by the Dozen. He is also written
for this is his masterpiece.
So this might be the pinnacle.
he topped himself with this one easily.
Yeah, he's also written for The Cape, which was that TV show that lasted for half a season.
The Cape. Oh my god.
It's Star Wars, The Clone Wars.
Oh, I've heard good things about that at least.
I like Clone Wars, so that could be it. Because Clone Wars had some good moments.
Oh, The Cape, my god. Oh, so bad. Okay, well, like I said, I'm glad that we got a chance to. I mean, again, I've been very negative about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. more often than not because, you know, I just never thought it was quite as good or as some people tried to make it out to be. But this season's been pretty solid, but this episode just took it to a new level. And again, one other thing I really like about this episode and what makes it stand out is. One of the things I really like about the show in general that I do like about it is it's got a decent sense of humor about it. Even though it's not Joss Whedon writing it, obviously his brother or other people, they're trying to emulate him to a certain point, so you get those kind of wisecracks being made by characters. And they usually work pretty well. Not always, but usually. This was an episode that didn't have a ton of humor in it. But it was still stood out as being really nicely written. I didn't write down the line, but it just popped into my head. One of the things I liked the most, there's that scene between Gemma and I don't remember what the character's name was that she's on the planet.
William.
Will,
thank you. When he makes the comment about the way she says fits his name all the time, about it, it's like her favorite word or something like that. I wish I had written down the line because it's such a nicely crafted and touching little moment that says so much about his perception and about the fact that maybe she really actually does love Fitz after all. It was one of my favorite little moments in the entire episode, actually.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I liked the episode, but I did have one little nitpick about it, and that is no cell phone battery's life lasts that long.
She talked about that. She said Fitz built her a special cell phone battery that lasted that long.
Yeah,
it's covered in the episode.
Yeah, it's covered.
It lasted for like 2 months. Come on.
Yeah, Fitz is a super genius. He built a super battery. You're wrong, Jason.
Yeah, big surprise. I'm glad we got a wrong Jason moment. Thank you.
He really did help us out there. It was getting rough.
He served it up to us.
She did also comment on how a couple of times trying to, you know, conserve the battery. So
I'll tell you right now what happened early on in the crafting of this episode. Someone said, we need her to have that phone working. How do we explain that? And it's like, and someone else said, Fitz being super scientist, he designed her a special battery that would last that long. That's all. It's like, okay, yeah, that'll work.
Exactly.
I can guarantee that's how that happened. That's how you deal with those kind of things. Because, again, yeah, I would have been questioning it until she said it. And they're like, oh, okay. No, I can go along with that. If I can go along with everything else, I can go along with that.
Did they explain why it was Sunny after she left for, like, maybe 10 seconds? And then went back to blue again?
Well, they...
That I missed?
I think you did miss it, because the whole point was that when they were waiting out there, it's because they figured out that it was going to be through the star charts, that there was actually going to be a moment of sunlight on the planet.
Like sun, it comes out like every 18 years. I think Gemma figured it out. So they were actually outside waiting to see the sun come up.
Okay.
So when they came back, it was kind of like the poignant moment of she's left, but the sun came out, and then it goes right. I love the effect that they use with the lighting and going back to the night blue. I really, there's so much I liked about that episode. It's just, you know, the only thing I'm looking forward to now is how much I'll probably be let down by the next one. You're like, oh, it's back.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it just to go back to its normal self. But, you know, like, I
really?
Expected.
Did you guys really kill Blair Underwood? Really? You know, that kind of... Oh, are you going to drag that out for like a month, you know?
God.
Because I'm sure. Okay. Well, I don't know if anyone else watched this. So if it was only me, then it's going to be a less than a minute conversation. Another episode, same night, same time slot, I believe, even, that I enjoyed vastly last week was the latest episode of iZombie. Did anyone else watch it, or was it just me?
It was just you.
All right. Well, like I said, I'll make this super quick just for the kids out there. What I really liked about this one, it was called Even Cowgirls Get the Black and Blues. They're very they're very cute and with their titles on the show. I like the fact that the first couple episodes of the season, we've had murderers that always seem to be tragic stories of misunderstandings, and you feel bad for who ended up being the murderer in the little case of the week stories. They kind of got away from that finally. And one storyline that looked like it was going to go south pretty quickly, they decided not to drag out, which was dealing with the character Major. If you guys are trying to catch up on it, I won't say anything because I don't want to spoil it for you. But they were going in a direction with that character, which I think were making a lot of viewers go, no, don't go there with him, please. It's going to take – and it looks like they've already course corrected by the end of this episode. So I'm happy about that. But the biggest thing – almost every week for me, as much as I like the entire cast, Rose McIver is just one of the most charming and likable people I see on television right now, and also very talented. And there is a moment in this episode, because the brains she's eaten is of a waitress who also fancied herself to be a bit of a singer at times. So she actually has a scene where she's singing in a country western bar or something. It's a heartbreaking moment. It's actually really well sung. It's not even a bad song, actually. And I found out, based on hearing an ad for iZombie in between commercials, that I didn't realize that Rose McIver is actually a New Zealander, because I heard her actual accent on a promo. I was like, oh my God, she's even more talented than I thought. Because she's got
I did know that.
She's got that New Zealand accent thing going on pretty strong. So just makes it that much cuter to me. So. That's all I have to say about iZombie. It's such a delightful show. I'm glad I'm watching it. It's that the combination of that and Flash might be my favorite 1-2 punch that's on TV. It's too bad now in the era of the DVR, I don't actually watch them back to back.
I'm looking forward to catching up on it one day.
Yeah, it's
whatever the time.
It's a matter of fact. I can't imagine someone watching this and not liking it unless they just are horrible, horrible people. I guess if we're going to talk about things, I'll give a minute or two to Gotham. Jason, I know you've been excited about some recent casting news, so if you want to mention that, now might be the time to say it.
Oh my gosh. Recent casting news. Oh, okay. Yeah, B.D. Wong is Hugo Strange. I called Hugo Strange a couple weeks ago as a character that might appear on Gotham, and bingo, there we go. So yeah, I was right on that one, not wrong.
It was a big shock that Hugo Strange was going to show up on the show. They also, and because I don't like the show enough to make any notes about it, really, I do know that they've also cast Victor Freeze and his wife, Nora, on the show. I know the actor who's playing Victor Freeze, I don't have his name in front of me, but I know he's from House of Cards. I think he's the guy who plays the Secret Service agent who works directly for Frank Underwood on that. I don't care enough to look up his name. If you want to, go ahead. It doesn't matter. But other than that, I mean, I have been watching the show. There's nothing that I'm really all that excited about on it. Now Firefly is a teenage girl who gets killed. You know, whatever. and I guess they're piling up the body count for Eddie Nigma on the show as well. So they killed off a character that I guess who's been on the show since the beginning. Which I was like, I guess I should care, but I really didn't. I just want to say one thing about the show in general, because I know I kind of went off on a rant about it a few weeks ago. And I know it came off like my rant was purely about the fact that they're changing so much from the comic books, and I don't like that, you know, whatever. Even though that's contradictory to everything I say about every other show. That's not exactly what I meant, and that's not exactly how that should have been interpreted. My concern is that what they're doing, the fact that I don't like what they're doing because I think it's stupid, which is a word I think I used a lot in that podcast, is that there are people out there, this is going to be their main or sole exposure or interpretation of a lot of these characters. And that's probably what bothers me, because that's the way they'll see certain characters. And like, no. This is like a crappy version. This is not how you should think of these characters. And that's kind of what bothers me. I liken it to like if someone watched the special, had only seen the special edition of Star Wars and therefore always just assumed that Greedo shot first. No, that's not what makes Han Solo cool. It's cool because he shot first. It's kind of like that, if that makes any sense.
I agree with you.
I never, Vicky, are you watching Gotham or have you?
I'm keeping up with it.
And yeah. Are you? I mean, I mean, obviously, I'm assuming you probably enjoy it more than I am. But you know, I never actually, I don't recall what your opinion was on the show, so I figured I would just ask.
I enjoy it, but but I don't feel it's all that great.
Right.
Even though I don't know all the various character backstories like most of you guys do, there's just something about it that just feels off. It just doesn't quite click for me.
Okay, I think that's a fair comment. I think what my issue beyond what I said was is putting aside whether one knows the comic books or not. So let's just forget the comic books, you know? But we know that this is a show based on comic book characters. So you figure the quality of writing, especially what we see in television nowadays, comic books, whether they're DC or Marvel, at one point or another, we have adored or loved comic books, or some of us still read them, whatever. But generally speaking, with exception, they're not usually considered the upper echelon of like literature or deep thinking or anything like that. You know, I understand that. But on that show, I always feel like they've dumbed down so much stuff to the point where I don't think the stories I'm seeing on this TV series have been conceived well enough to ever be done in comic book form, if that makes any sense. I don't think the stories on the show are good enough to be in a comic, if that is probably a more succinct way to put it.
Yeah.
And then like, really? So in other words, you guys don't write as well as like the most mundane comic could have been. I mean, any issue of like, say, what was it? Gotham Central, I think, was the comic that DC had that was just covering like, you know, the Gotham City, the police department. I mean, I didn't read it that often. I read a few issues. They're all, everyone I read is far better written than anything I've seen on this show. I mean, just
that right there is the real reason I dislike the show so much, is because I remember when they were first selling the show and saying this was being in the works. That was what they said it was going to be. It was going to be like Gotham Central. It was going to be about the cops and the mob and the Jim Gordon. And then I started seeing previews and I started realizing that's not what we're getting. I see a lot of what I don't want, and that's Batman stuff being pushed into the show. And that was where they really lost me, is because I wanted Jim Gordon. I wanted cops and crooks. I wanted like that kind of show, and we didn't get it.
Yeah, I feel like the concept of the show is better than the execution has been. Bless their hearts, my favorite show parts of the show are Sean Pertwee and, you know, Ben McKenzie, but they can't carry the show by themselves.
Right. I mean, and I will admit right off the bat, you have actors on the show who I think are giving it their all, or even if they're not giving it their all, they're still really fun to watch, like Ben McDonald, like Sean Pertwee. And Donald Logue, I love him in almost everything he's done, except for that character he was on Sons of Anarchy. I could have done without that character. But other than that, he's always solid. I wish they were given better material. I wish it didn't feel kind of either repetitive to the point of it's not really great as far as being a comic book show, and it doesn't really work as a cop show because it's not a good cop show. You know, that there's not really any really cop work here, or police work, or detective work. So, wow, we ended up bashing it after all. Hey, cool. But not rant. We all had a reasonable conversation.
Yeah. You're getting the crap into both ends, a cop show and a superhero show.
Right. Okay. I think there's only one more show left to talk about, and I think we're only going to spend a few minutes on it mainly due to the fact only two of us have watched it. So if Vicky and Jason will indulge me and Kate for a few moments. We have been looking forward to the premiere of Ash versus Evil Dead since it was first announced or rumored or whatever. And I was fortunate enough or miraculously enough to get Stars a couple weeks ago as part of my cable deal. I was able to lower my cable and get Stars. I don't know how that worked. And I know Cade didn't get it, but he was able to somehow access the TV show this past weekend anyway.
That's true. So, and then I did sign up for Stars at 6 o'clock this evening through the internet. So I do have Stars officially now, so I can continue watching.
You will be a legitimate watcher.
I will be a legitimate watcher from this point on.
So, I mean, I already know what you thought, so it seems almost stagey for me to say, so what'd you think? But say, so what'd you think? What did you think of this?
I loved it, and I didn't just love it because when you hear Evil Dead, you're worried that, hey, it's just going to be Evil Dead, they're going to harp on it. But no, it was Evil Dead because Bruce Campbell, Sam Raimi directed the premiere episode, and it was fantastic because it wasn't just like Evil Dead. You had moments that were very Army of Darkness, and Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, very different movies, but they blended them so well in this one episode. You got both feelings of both those shows in here, which was fantastic because you're going to get humor, but you're going to get some of that good horror that you want. And just from the first episode, I'm really excited where we're going.
Yeah, the podcast in quotation marks, actually issued a tweet about the show, which I clearly agree with, and I wrote it. Not only did I think this was funnier than most sitcoms I've seen over the past few years, I was more genuinely startled or frightened at certain key moments in the episode more than any other quote-unquote horror series that I've seen, like, say, American Horror Story or The Walking Dead maybe or something like that. There were actually moments where I was like, oh, geez. You know, I think you know the scenes I'm talking about. The fact that they were able to do that all, you know, in a relatively short period of time, it's a TV show, but that didn't seem to bother the middle because this could have felt like it could have been 45 minutes of another movie. You know, maybe it's because you've got Raimi doing it and it's, you know, it's got that same look and feel as, you know, Army of Darkness or Evil Dead 2 for that matter. But, I mean, I'll admit, I didn't expect to be disappointed anyway, but I think I somehow found a way to enjoy this more than I expected to. Because I even grew to like the supporting players that appear in the episode as well. And I gotta admit, I was at a certain point early in the episode, I was going, I think I'm gonna find those characters annoying. But by the time it was all over, like, no, I like them too. This could be these people could be fun to watch for the next 9 additional episodes.
They're gonna be. They did some good things, like the two, the younger ones. Her not totally not getting what he's put. Totally doesn't like him at all. But Pablo looking up to Ash is like this god. He thinks he's awesome. So when Ash gets to be awesome, having a cheering section for him will be kind of funny. Because the kid will do anything he asks him to. That's the weird. That's going to be fun to see some of the scenarios they get themselves into.
And I think the strongest selling point of the series. You know how we watch certain TV shows that are, and those TV shows, they may not be the greatest show on, but we're watching it mainly because of one character or one actor. I think a lot of us, when we watch The Blacklist, we always say, "Well, we watch it because it's James Spader because he's so good on the show." The rest of it's okay, but the reason we're watching is because of James Spader. Oh, by the way, that show is much better this season. I'm really liking that show this season, too. This show, I mean, I love all the other stuff around it, too. The scares, the horror aspect of it, I get a kick out. But, oh, my God, Bruce Campbell is a force to be reckoned with. And I'm so happy to see that because I've watched him the last several years as a supporting player on Burn Notice. And I was wondering, Could he be the lead again? Could he be Ash Williams again and really bring it? You know, within the first 3 minutes of this episode, oh yeah, it's going to be fine. This is going to be a groovy ride from start to finish. And
speaking of him, one of my favorite moments is the part where he pulls out the tooth. He's going to keep looking, and then he pulls out the extra set of bottom dentures he puts in and pops them in and just gives them that smile. You're like, okay, I know where he's going to be for the rest of this season. I know how this is going to play out.
Well, I kind of like the idea that there's been a lot of movies we've seen, more so than TV shows, where there'll be a little sly reference when the actor is obviously getting up there in years. Someone dropped something there. Whether it be, you know, a Clint Eastwood movie where they're kind of riffing on his age and like In the Line of Fire or some later movies, or a Harrison Ford movie or something. This they took to a further extreme. Everything from the fact that he's trying to do everything he can to hide his gut in this gigantic leather corset to the fact he actually has false teeth and all the comments that are made throughout the episode. It's really funny. It's really well done. The gore is beautifully over the top to the point where you can watch heads explode and not be so shocked by it. It reminded me of when I was some years ago, I got to go see Evil Dead the musical here in Manhattan, and they had like the first few rows had a splash zone where you had to wear like special raincoats because blood would splatter all over the first 3 rows of the audience. This TV show, stuff was splattering everywhere in the camera on people's faces. It's a very wet show.
There's a I don't know if you watched it. There's a little behind the scenes thing they did, and one of the behind the scenes things is like Raimi walking up with like a brush and flicking blood on them personally to get it the way he wants it, and everyone's just laughing. It's the funniest thing because he's so involved in that. So yeah, nice. It's.
Oh, can I ask one thing before we get to the wrap up? I didn't see that. In that clip, Raimi, is he wearing a suit?
No, when he was directing, he wasn't wearing a suit.
Interesting.
When they did the interview, he was wearing his suit like he usually does. But in the actual shots of him directing the episode, no, he's just in like gray pants, red shirt, and some work boots. He totally was not dressed up in his suit when he was directing the episode.
Interesting, because I think he's one of a couple directors that was known for always wearing a suit when they direct. I think Nolan might do that too. I'm not sure. I could be wrong about that. But I know Raimi was someone who always wore a suit when he directed. So it's interesting if he wasn't. Maybe because it was TV, he didn't feel the need.
But no, he wasn't wearing a suit, which did catch me by surprise because usually when you see him, he's got the suit on.
Right. Well, like I said, as much as I liked, you know, or sort of liked The Flash and Arrow this week, those three shows we just talked about, not Gotham. would be, if I was ranking the comic book shows this week, I think I'd put those ahead of both Flash and Arrow for the past week. They were just you know, they're all in the A and A plus category as far as I was concerned.
Agreed.
And it hurts me to say that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you know, I gotta say it. I mean, it was just way better. Come on. That won't be the case next week.
Yeah, sometimes it happens.
Yeah, you know what? It's like the old broken clock can even be right twice a day. Hey, is it still, by the way, the World Series, are they still tied or has anyone won them?
It's 7-2 Kansas City in the bottom of the 12.
Not tied anymore.
I don't think the Mets come back from this.
Oh, well, I mean, I've spent my entire life not rooting for them, so I was trying to throw them a break, so go Royals.
Yeah. The Royals put up a 5 spot on top of the 12th.
Oh, there you go. So is there anything else any of you guys want to say before we get to the wrap-up here?
No, I think I said everything I wanted to say.
No.
All right. I can't think of anything else myself other than the fact that I meant to say, I think one of us would have said last week, but we forgot to say it. The Flash episode, which was titled The Fury of Firestorm, that title is taken from a Firestorm comic called The Fury of Firestorm. So I just wanted to get that out there. Anyway. Oh. Yeah, it's never too late to throw it out of fact. Two different comics.
What was the name of the book?
The 82 to 90 series was called The Fury of Firestorm, and I think they have a new comic that started in 2011, which is called The Fury of Firestorm. So either way, just want to get that.
He's angry.
So, yes. So if you want to find more incredibly trivial and stupid facts like that, and you might find some information like that on our Facebook page. You can track us down on Facebook page at Serious TV Drama Podcast. Just type Serious TV Drama into the search box. I'm sure you can find us that way. That's how I usually find us. The same applies to if you want to find us on iTunes, where you can subscribe to the podcast. Just type in Serious TV Drama. That should be enough to find us there. Again, we are rising in the ranks a little bit. I've noticed if I do a search myself for like, I can't find this if I do a search for a Flash podcast, but if I write Flash TV podcast, we're definitely in like the top 30 or 40. Same with Arrow. And I think for me and Dan's sake, same with Fargo. I think we were landing in the top 40 or 50, or one of them were like really high up there, but the key is to write the word TV. You know, people need to be awesome. Writing the word TV. lastly, you can also follow us on Twitter. That our Twitter handle is STVD, as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. I sometimes will send out, I don't know why I keep saying sometimes, I always will send out the link to our podcast there, as well as comment on things from time to time. Maybe I should give that account for other people to use as well, so it's not just my snarkiness out there. And that is about it. It's kind of weird not to have Dan here to annoy me at the end of the podcast, but he's probably asleep at this point. So
probably, yeah.
So we will be back. Me and Dan will be back sooner than later to do the next Fargo podcast. And then probably midweek, we all will be regrouping for – we're going to try to actually do Flash and Arrow in one podcast, the way it's supposed to be done. And since I think we're all really looking forward to this week's episodes, that podcast should be a doozy.
It could be long.
Yes, we're going to have to, yeah. We may have to just resign ourselves to it being a long podcast, but we'll see. Maybe we can rein it in a little bit. We've done a pretty good job tonight considering how much stuff we just covered, so I wouldn't feel too bad about it. All right, so if there's nothing else to say, I guess we should just say goodnight. So I will start us off by saying goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.
I hope CJ can differentiate between the two of us now, Cade.
So. Oh.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.
I couldn't tell the difference.
behind. Come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind. Come along if you care. Come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your mind. Beyond the seas of thought, beyond the realm of what, across the streams of hopes and dreams where things are really not. Come along if you care. Come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your mind. But please realize, you'll probably be surprised. For it's a land unknown to man where fantasy is back. So if you can.